And undoubtedly, we've got about 3,000 people online today who are joining in with us this morning. Welcome to our online community. Great to have you on board today for Legacy Offering Day. If you're a new person in church today, can I just explain to you, this is very much a family day today in terms of we gather once a year to take a special offering as a church and present it to the Lord as part of our legacy, just to help us move forward in our vision areas of church life. And traditionally what we've done, we've designated this offering day towards paying down our debt as a church on our facility, and this year we're doing that again. We're aiming to pay $100,000 down this year on our debt, and then another $30,000 designated towards other vision areas, some things we just have to attend to in church life, like our restrooms. We really want to do them up, is what we want to do. And so we've designated a goal of $130,000, which that's a pretty big effort for our church, and yet every year we either come very close to that or we exceed that. I think last year our pledges and offering on the day came in about $124,000 that was pledged, and then also portion of that given on the day. Throughout the year, the total that actually came in was about $105,000. Let me get the figure. I've got the figure right here. It's $106,785 that came in. Give yourself a big round of applause. Thank you, church family. Thank you so much. And this year we're believing to do that and beyond. Everyone say beyond. This is a beyond offering. It's above and beyond our normal giving. To make it very clear, what I'm asking is, I'm asking that we not put our general tithes and offerings into this special offering. That's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And whenever you rob Peter, Peter's not happy. Paul is, but Peter's not. And so we want to make both Peter and Paul happy today is what we want to do. So we've given you offering envelopes on your seats. We've also given you promise cards that you can use later in the service for when we give you an opportunity to give your offering. The envelope is simply, if you're giving either online or in cash or check or some other way, if you can fit it in the envelope, put it in the envelope and write your name on it and do all of that. It's just good for accountability. That's what that is. I believe in that. And so that's how you give in terms of a offering today. If you're giving a promise over either a 6-month or 12-month period or something like that, there's a promise card. And for some of us, that's just a great way to do it because you may not have the money in the bank to give the offering today. And so over the next 12 months, you're going to make some room for God to move in your personal world, make some space and believe for God to do that. And so you might do that. And then also a little card, what I'm believing God for, and to fill out a number of things that you're praying, you're believing God for. We're going to have people pray over this, and we're going to pray over it today. And every year we've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and we're believing for that once again. For my family, how it works for us is we bring both an offering for the day and also a promise throughout the year for what we will give. So I want you to just prepare yourself. We're going to give that, present that at the conclusion of our service today. We do that a little bit differently to our normal offerings. In terms of today, we're going to bring it out the front is what we're going to do because we want a touch point for people, a touch point of faith, and our pastors, our team will be on stage praying for you as you present your offering today. Let me speak to you for a few moments. How many of you know I lie every time I say that? It's more than a few moments. I'm going to speak for a few moments today, and I'll keep it as short as I possibly can, about our theme, which is make room. Make room. We've been making room for God all through this month, but particularly this week, we've been fasting and praying. How did you go with your fasting? Did you enjoy that?
Loved it.
Thank you. Loved it. Loved it. Yeah. You know, fasting's one of those things. I'm not really a fan. I'm not really a fan of fasting, but I do it because I know it's a good thing to do. I know it's a godly thing to do. So I lean in and I participate and I do it. But I've got to tell you, it's not one of my favorite things to do. I love more gathering around the table with hospitality and food, obviously, and enjoying that with friends and family and in church world. But it is good to fast and pray. And we've done that this week. We had an amazing night here on Friday nights. We really did. I want to thank those that came out. We had as many people Friday night in the room as we do now, I think. And we just had a great time. We had the band on the floor and gathered around in a circle. And we just leaned in for a few moments and let heaven touch us as we prepare for this special day. So thank you to all those that came out. Make room. Make room is a call to make room for God in how we manage our time, our talent, and our treasure. And the truth is that God has called us to live a surrendered life in all of those areas. How you spend your time, how you expend your talent, the gift of God that's on your life, and then also your treasure, your wealth. The Bible tells us that it's God that gives us the power and the ability to create wealth, the resourcefulness, the opportunities that come our way. We work it, but God provides it, is the biblical principle on how that works. And so make room is a call for us to take responsibility and to be accountable for how we're managing those areas in our life. Because the Bible teaches us both in parable and in principle and in truth that Jesus one day holds us accountable for how we've managed things, for the stewardship, for the trust that he's given us over our time, over our talent, and also over our treasure. I've been reading and just meditating on a passage of scripture that's, it's one of my faves in all of the New Testament for the last number of weeks, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And there's a thought in there in verse 5 where it talks about the Macedonian churches, the Macedonian Christians. And Paul's thought is this, that the thing that captures his mind about the Macedonians is this. He says, they devoted themselves to the Lord and to us. They devoted themselves to the Lord and also to us. You know, the truth is our faith journey, the journey of faith, it starts, it continues, and it's empowered by our God connection. Our God connection, your connection to Jesus, your connection to heaven, your connection through the cross and everything that Jesus has done for you is the most important, dynamic, life-giving connection that you have. So look after it. Turn to your neighbor and say, look after it. Look after it. Look after your God connection, because giving ourselves to Jesus is our first and primary connection. And if that giving of ourselves, like Paul focuses on the Macedonian churches and comments about them, if our God connection is strong, it helps with vibrancy in every other life connection that we have. If it's not strong, you're vulnerable. If it's not strong, you're vulnerable and fragile in different areas of life. And so our God connection is our primary focus. If our God connection is strong, it shows in our commitment to both God's house, which is a commitment to God, and also to our leaders. It shows in that connection. It shows in that consecration. It shows in that commitment. And Paul noticed this on the Macedonian churches, plural, not church, not people, not one group, but right across the Macedonian group of churches, Paul says, I know notice something about them, that they gave themselves first to God, but then also they gave themselves to us. I don't know a better biblical principle to advance your devotion to God than this one, in terms of leaning in and giving yourself to God. Leaning in and giving yourself to God, to his house, and also to the leadership. I don't know a better God principle, faith principle, biblical principle to accelerate our journey of faith, our experience of the God life, than to do those things. So I'm here today to encourage you to keep doing that. Let's read the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to play around with a few verses today. Paul says this about the Macedonians. They did even more than we'd hoped, for their first action, everyone say first action, their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us just as God wanted them to. Do you know there are some things that God wants you to do? There are some things that God really wants you to do. And Paul here says, this is what God wanted them to do, but it surprised us that they'd done it so aggressively, that they gave themselves fully to God, but not only fully to God, also fully to us. Why are first actions important? Why are first actions important? First actions are important because order affects outcome. Order affects outcome. There are some things you can't get out of order. There are some things that are absolutely a priority that you get the order right. And here Paul talks about their first action being a God response, a God action. Like tithing in the Bible, it's called your first fruits. It's called the best part, the first tenth of everything that God has blessed you. That's something you don't want to get out of order. If it's out of order, it's disorder. If it's out of order, it's disorder. So we need to get our first action right. First actions are important because they set the path for everything else. They set the pathway for everything else in our lives. So first actions are really important for every one of us. And their first action was we give ourselves fully to God. Fully to God. And coupled with that, we give ourselves fully to the leaders for whatever this season of God demands of us. And Paul says this is just what God wanted them to do. You know, the thing that captures me about this passage is this thought where Paul talks about this special grace that was upon the Macedonian believers, on the Macedonian churches. It's a special grace that was upon all of them, a single grace. A single culture that permeated all of the churches throughout the Macedonian province, throughout that nation and that group of churches. Not one church, but he's saying every church in the Macedonian area was the same. Now, was every church throughout that area and beyond the same as this? No, only the Macedonian churches. It was something particular to their cultural way of doing things that they were real givers. And so this is how Paul starts in verse 1 of chapter 8. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God, which is evident. It's obvious. It pops." Do you know there are some things that pop about you? There are some things that pop. There are some things that everybody knows about you. When they think of you, they go, "Yeah, that's obvious. I know that about Timothy. I know that about Timothy." It just pops. He can't hide it. He glows with that. And we all know that about Timothy. That we all want the positive things to be known by everybody, don't we?
Yeah.
We all want the positive things, not the negative things. But unfortunately, sometimes there's some of the negative things that are known also. It's the positive things, the helpful things, the things that advance and add strength to others that we want to have popping and to be evident. And Paul says this about the Macedonian churches. He says there's a grace of God on them, which is evident in the churches of Macedonia, which is awakening in them a desire to contribute. Church, there is a grace and a culture that I believe God wants to awaken in every one of us. There's a grace and a culture that God wants to awaken in every one of us. And Paul says of the Macedonians, it was a grace and a culture that awakened a desire for them to make a life contribution, their very best life contribution towards this season that people were facing. And this grace was obvious. This grace was evident upon them. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you, what is it that's obvious about you? What's obvious about you? What do people know about you? What do they think of you? What do they understand pops in terms of when they think of Chi? What do they think? What do they think when they think of Chi? And we mentioned Chi's name, and instantly Chi's name brings a smile to people's faces because they highlight and they're aware straight away of the things they love about Chi. What is it, if I mention your name, what is it do you think that would pop into people's minds and think, "Yeah, that's obvious, that's evident, I can see that on them"? What do others notice about you? What do they know and notice about you? Paul was so impacted by what was evident on the Macedonian churches that he wrote to another church and said, "You guys should be like these guys. You should be like the Macedonians." He wrote it to the Corinthians, which is the book we're reading and looking at. And he says to the Corinthian church in verse 7, he said, "You guys in the Corinthian church, you're good." He said, "You abound in everything. You abound in faith. You have amazing faith. You abound in speech. You're really articulate. You're wise. You've got a lot of knowledge going on. You're diligent in how you serve God and your love for us. And then he says this, see that you also abound in this grace. See that you abound in this same grace that's on the church in Macedonia. See that you are just like them and have this same thing evident in your life. So the question needs to be asked, what was it that was so evident? What was so evident on the Macedonian churches? What was this grace that Paul was talking about? And he tells us, he answers the question. He says it's the same grace that was on Jesus. The same grace that was on Jesus, which tells me this. The grace is just not a good thing, it's a God thing. It's not just a good thing, it's a God thing. There are a lot of things that are good things, but then there's a few things that are God things. And when there's God things, get that in the first action order of your life and of your world, and embrace that as a part of who you are. This is what Paul says about it being a God thing. He says in verse 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. It was a grace of contributing your life to make your best life impact through your time, your talent, and your treasure. That's what Jesus did. Jesus gave himself fully with kingdom purpose to fulfill the purpose of the Father, and he gave everything of himself for us. He held nothing back. He held nothing back. He gave everything of himself for every one of us. Let's look at how the Macedonians gave, because this is the grace that Paul's comparing it with. He says in verse 2, the season that the Macedonians were in, he says, is for during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. So he's saying they were in a time of severe distress. They were in like a pandemic. They were in a severe famine. A severe famine. Now we've been through a pandemic. We've lived through it. We've survived it. We had a season of isolation. We had to wear masks. We had to behave ourselves according to the instructions of the government and do all of those kind of things. And we've done that. And we've come through it. So we've been through pandemics. But I've never been through a severe famine. A severe famine that touched every household, every person. Nobody was excused from the famine that was hitting through Jerusalem and all of this region. And that's why Paul is taking up this offering throughout the churches, and he's asking them to contribute. And he says here, the Macedonians, they contributed amazingly. They gave themselves first to God and then to us, and they took up this amazing offering. And he says they did it through a time and an ordeal of severe distress. So even in severe distress and struggle and anxiety that they were experiencing, they were filled with abundant joy, and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of lavish generosity. Do you know that means that your circumstance need not define your response? Your circumstance need not define your response. He says, for I testify that according to their ability, so they did the best of their ability, and beyond their ability, I don't know how you do that, they gave voluntarily. So they gave to the best of their ability and beyond. To the best of their ability and beyond, and they did this voluntarily. And then he says, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating. So the season was a time of severe distress, extreme famine, and poverty. And yet Paul says they had this deep, abundant joy that overflowed in lavish generosity. In other words, their attitude as a church was, we're not going to let a pandemic stop us. We're not going to let a famine stop us. We're not going to let the fact that we're experiencing poverty ourselves stop us. We're going to rise above that, do the best that we can, and we're going to believe for God to do so much more through us. I think that's what God asks of every one of us, that we simply do the best we can. The best we can. When I give our offering today, when we give our offering today, every one of us individually and as families, when we present them, what we're doing is we're saying to God, this is the best I can do, God, and I pray you'd help me to do beyond my ability, that you would do something supernatural in me, through me, over this next 12 months, that I believe that you would do something amazing. And they gave voluntarily, they gave happily, and they begged for the privilege of contributing to what Paul was asking them to do. The Message Bible, I love it in the Message Bible, verse 5, it says, this was totally spontaneous. It was entirely their own idea. It caught us completely off guard. What explains it was they'd first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. The other giving, the financial giving, simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in our lives. You know, there are some things that flow naturally when you get the order right. When you get the order right, things flow naturally. A lot of people in church world have a lot of heartache and struggle when it comes to giving offerings to the Lord. And it's simply because the order's not right for them. The order's not right. First actions are very, very important, both in understanding and also in application. Paul says they surprised us. It was entirely their own idea. It caught us off guard. What explains it was they gave themselves to the Lord first. And then they gave themselves to us unreservedly. And then the other giving, it simply flowed naturally as a result of God working in their lives. As I said last week, if we give ourselves fully to God and to what God is building, then his grace of contribution in terms of our life impact is evident and flows naturally. I've got three big thoughts today. Here we go. Number one, when we make room for God, we gravitate to where the grace is flowing. We gravitate to where God's grace is flowing. We just want to be around it. We want to be around the grace. We want to be around the generosity. We want to be around the joy. We want to be around the serving. We want to be around the team. We want to be around the worship. We want to be around the praise. We want to be around the table. We want to be in the homes where it's happening. We want that in our world. We gravitate to where the grace is flowing. So the thought is, we may be in church, but are we in church? We may be in church, but are we in? We may be in God, but are we in God? Are we leaning in? Are we leaning in? Are we connected, consecrated, committed, contributing, giving of ourselves? You know, this thought of giving of ourselves never goes away. It never goes away. It's a first action every day to give of yourself to God. Dying to yourself and taking up your cross is not a once and forever set and forget thing to do. It's a daily attitude. It's a daily action, because there's so much of me that wants to rise up. So much of my flesh that wants to rise up. It's a daily choice to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And so passionate sacrifice flows out of what you're leaning into. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 says, disregarding their personal interest and giving as much as they possibly could. This is what the Macedonians did. They disregarded their personal interest and they gave as much as they possibly could. You know, that kind of reckless abandonment of self, it flows from who we lean into and what we give ourselves to. And that's why our theme this year has been, make room. Make room for God and lean into God. Because if you lean into that God connection and get that order right, so much of the other stuff just flows naturally, and we gravitate to God's heart, we gravitate to God's house, we gravitate to God's people, we gravitate to worship, we gravitate to praise, we gravitate to his word, and we gravitate to his ways. Secondly, when we make room for God, we abound in joy and generosity. We abound in joy. Everyone say abound.
Abound.
Abound. We just don't participate in it. We abound in joy. We abound in generosity. Let me remind you, Paul says it was a time of severe distress, and yet in their abundant joy and their deep poverty, together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. They lived beyond their season. They lived beyond their season. They had an abounding spirit, an advancing spirit that would not be contained, and they refused to let the season dictate how they responded and what they did. One of the things I've noticed after pastoring for 30 odd years is this, is when we stop giving ourselves, the first two things to disappear are our joy and generosity. When we stop giving of ourselves, when we start to disconnect from that God connection, when that starts to break down, and the connection with leaders and the house of God starts to diminish, the first two things that disappear are people's joy and generosity. And we as pastors and leaders, we see it all the time. The joy and the generosity starting to diminish in people's hearts. And we saw it over the period of pandemic time. We saw that happening. We could see it. It was evident. Everyone say evident. It was evident. It was obvious. It was noticeable. And that's not the kind of thing we want to have noticeable on our lives. We want it noticed that we have abounding joy and abounding generosity, not disappearing joy, not disappearing generosity. It's a slow and subtle, deceptive process of both decay and decline. You know, our partnership together as family, our partnership together as a church, it flows from our God connection. It flows from that seed of everything that Jesus has done for us and everything we're allowing Jesus to do. And whatever season you're in right now, because some are in a challenging season, the economy is in a challenging season right now, but we're not allowing that to become our excuse. We're not allowing that to become our barrier. We're looking beyond that. We're doing to the best of our ability. To the best of our ability. You know, when it comes to the presentation and the giving of, you know, a special offering to the Lord, one of the things the Bible teaches us is this. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And so today's participation for some, it's not going to be that we're all giving the same. We're not the Communist Party. It doesn't work like that. We're in Heaven's party, and it's according to how God has blessed you, and according to our faith, and according to our capacity that we give, and that we understand that, God, I've done the best I can. And we've always said, year in, year out, just do the best you can. We set a goal, but we don't die as to whether that goal, we're not falling on leadership swords if that goal is either achieved or not achieved. We're celebrating it either way. We're celebrating you either way. We're celebrating what God is doing and will do either way. But the fact that we behave that way doesn't mean it negates our responsibility to step up and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to do the best that I can. My next thought is this: when we make room for God, our enthusiasm exceeds our ability. I love this. Yeah. Our enthusiasm exceeds our ability. Paul talks about how they did the best they could according to their ability, and then beyond their ability, and that they gave voluntarily. I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm a big believer in this Australian thought and colloquialism, in that you just need to have a crack. Turn to your neighbour and say, have a crack. Just have a go. Just have a go. Don't count yourself out. That's why we do the promise card thought. Because the fact of the matter is, you might not have what you want to give and participate with right now, but you can give a promise. And the promise can be, God, I'm going to have a crack. I'm going to believe that you'll open doors and opportunities for me to make a way for me to give over a 12-month period. So just because I can't see it now doesn't mean I'm not going to believe for it to happen and for it to take place. So I'm going to have a crack, and I'm going to make room and believe that you would provide. Yes. Make room for God to provide. You know, the thought is that God can't empower us to contribute beyond ourselves until we've actually contributed what we can. You can't give beyond yourself until you've contributed what you can. That's actually where the miracle takes place, in that moment of space, in that moment where we create room and we make room for God. The miracle takes place when you've reached your limit. It takes place when you've reached your limit and you've reached your end, and you feel like there's nothing left for you to be able to do, or for you to be able to contribute. You prayed all the prayers you can pray. You fasted all you can. You believed all you can. And then at that point, that's the miracle zone. That's the zone where God can do what God does. And so we make room. When we're making room for God, our enthusiasm exceeds our ability. And my last thought today is this. When we make room for God, we're intentional about our priorities and we're intentional about our loyalties. We're intentional about our priorities and we're intentional about our loyalties. You know, the church in Macedonia, they responded to this appeal in this famine to care for the churches in Jerusalem. They're intentional about their loyalty to the church. They wanted to make sure the believers didn't starve. And so they provided from their own poverty abundant provision so that other believers would be provided for. You know, it is so easy to underestimate the importance and the power of giving of ourselves and of who and what we give ourselves to. And if you're a generous person, one of the things that you need to understand very quickly is this, is that your generosity will be bled from you if you're not focused in your generosity. If you're not focused in your priorities and focused in your loyalties. People try and evangelize me almost every day of the week in terms of their programs, their activities, their charities, the different things that are going on. And they're all good causes. But we have chosen to be faithful with a sense of loyalty to our priorities to build the church and to provide for the church and to particularly provide for our church. So that's something on our lives, and I think that God places that on all of our lives, to be intentional about the priorities that we have so we live intentionally when it comes to our generosity. Paul says in verse 4 of chapter 8, he says, they were begging us insistently for the privilege of participating. And what explains it was that they had first given themselves to God and then also to us. In other words, these believers in Macedonia, they were loyal. They were loyal, they were focused, they were very intentional about the priority of giving to respond to the need that was in Jerusalem at this time. You know, church, when we make room for God, we're generous with our priorities and we're generous with our loyalties in terms of the contribution that we want to make. And so there's some things I have to say no to. There's some things I have to bypass. There's some things I can't get involved in because of the loyalty and the devotion that I have to God and that I have to His house and that I have to provide for that. And so some things I just say no to. Some experiences in life you just don't get involved with because it's going to drag us away from those loyalties. And so I'm asking every one of us just to be very focused, to be very faithful to what we're doing today, which is we're building our church. Yeah. We're building and empowering our church and this season for our church and this moment for our church. And it's a sacrificial gift. It's above and beyond our general giving. And I know the sacrifice. We know the sacrifices as pastors that people make. And that's why this day is always so significant for us as a church. I'm going to ask our team if they would come on stage right now, our pastors team, our exec team, if they would come on stage right now. We're going to have our team of stewards just get ready. What we're going to do today is in terms of the presentation and the giving of our offering, our team on the floor are going to help direct row by row when you can come out. If you've come unprepared today, that's okay. Don't feel under obligation to come out. We want you to come out if you're prepared to come out today. We're going to have two baskets on stage. The first basket on my right side will be for the promise cards. And so What I'm Believing God For card. So this basket is for the What I'm Believing God For card. We want them separated, put in that basket, and they are the ones we're going to pray over and have our prayer team pray over and continue to pray over throughout the year. This basket is for our offerings that we're giving today and the pledges that we're making also. When you do come, we want you to come with your family. We want you just to gather here, place your offering in, and we're going to take a just a few seconds, just to quickly pray over you in that moment, believing that God will hear, believing that God will see, believing that God will bless, believing that God will do miracles, and God will provide what every one of us need Him to provide for over this coming 12-month period. We're going to, in a few moments, put some video music on, and just in terms of atmosphere, so that all of our team can participate today in this giving moment. As a team of pastors, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for building with us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loyalty to the Lord and also to us. And now we make room for God to do something very, very special. Let me pray for you before we start today. Father, we just thank you today for the opportunity to say thank you, for the opportunity to acknowledge you as the source of everything in our lives and in our world. Help every one of us individually, as couples, as families, to make our best life contribution when it comes to how we manage our time, our talent, our treasure, the way that we serve you, the gifts that we serve you with, and then the gift that we bring in terms of our resource, God. And so today is a tremendous step of faith. A tremendous step of faith for every single one of us. And I pray your goodness and your blessing and your favor on us as in this moment we prepare our hearts to give and to honor you today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So we're going to put the music on now, and Cheryl and I are going to give on behalf of our family first, with a number of other gifts that people have given me to give on their behalf today. And thank you. Put the music on. Put the music on. Thank you, Jesus.